Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And I want to talk a while this morning about on the topic from the armor of God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had all week to minister, to teach with these kids, to interact with them, Lord, and just to be blessed by their presence. Hopefully, God, we've planted a seed in them, and God, that it's going to take root and produce good crop in their life, a good harvest. God, bless all those who were involved and made this possible. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, as I said, we talked to the children about the kingdom of God, about the armor of God. The Bible talks repeatedly and calls God's realm, if you will. It uses the word kingdom. That's where we come up with this. I want to stress this, that there's nothing that we talked about, nothing I'm going to say here this morning, that isn't in the Bible. It's not us making this up. This is what God's word says. And the Bible says that God's realm is a kingdom. And we have several different kingdoms listed in the Bible. We have God's kingdom, and we have the kingdom of this world. One is called God's kingdom, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of this world that's ruled by the ruler of this world, Satan, is the kingdom of darkness. And so what we wanted to teach about was, of course, keeping God's kingdom in our lives, being a part of it. And this passage here that I opened with, Ephesians 6, 10, 11, tells us that we do that by putting on his armor. Now, this isn't physical armor, it's spiritual armor. And I'm going to just highlight six pieces of armor very quickly. I'm not going to teach on it. That would take way too long. But just so you know, again, this isn't something we're making up. This is what the Bible tells us. We have the belt of truth, which they sang about. And we know that truth, the Bible tells us that the word of God is true. Jesus is true. John 14, 6 and John 17, 7 both tell us that. Again, the Bible is true and Jesus is truth. So that's important. The breastplate of righteousness, that we're seen as righteous in God's sight through Jesus Christ, our faith in him. Romans 3:22 tells us that. The sandals of the gospel of peace, our ability to go and share with others. That's why the idea of sandals, or they use the word shoes in their songs that they sang this week, that we need to go and tell other people about the gospel. Romans 10:15 tells us this. The shield of faith, our faith in Jesus, and our trusting in God's word, protect us from these schemes or attacks of the enemy, of Satan, this kingdom of darkness. So we put on the shield of faith to help us overcome the trials in life. We see that in 1 John 5, 4 and 5. The helmet of salvation protects our minds. That is where a lot of times the battle is fought. We think about this world and doing things physically, but it all starts up here. If we don't protect our minds, then it ends up becoming a part of our lives. So we protect our minds. 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us that this is the main area Satan attacks. It's not our bodies, it's our minds. He wants us to think the way he wants us to think rather than the way God wants us to think. And finally, the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. That's the sixth and final pieces of the armor of God. And so the sword of the Spirit reveals to us our need of salvation, our need of Jesus in our lives. It says it reveals us. It brings things to light in our lives, letting us know that we need Jesus. Hebrews 4:12 tells us this. So what I want to do this morning quickly is, rather than spending time on all these different items, is why do we put on the armor of God? Why is it so important? So I want to go back to where I started, Ephesians 6:10. I'm going to add a couple verses to it and read through verse 11. So Ephesians 6:10 through 13 says this. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to make your stand, to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." So we're told here again, put on the armor of God. Why do we put on the armor of God? Because the world and the prince of this world, Satan, is going to come against us. He's going to try to attack us. He's going to try to discourage us. He's going to try to bring difficulties and hardships and all these things. And so God says, I'm going to equip you to stand against these attacks, these schemes. And you do it with the armor of God. The first thing he says is stand against the devil's schemes. Satan is a schemer. You know anybody know anybody that's a schemer? Probably a bunch of little schemers that were just up here a little bit ago. always scheming something for mom and dad, right? It means that you're making plans. You're thinking things through, trying to come up with something that you can do. Satan is a schemer. He often doesn't attack us directly. He comes up with schemes that we will fall for. It's not a physical attack. Again, these are spiritual issues that he tells us about. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and beginning of 15 says, No wonder, for Satan himself masquerades. That means he's deceiving. When we masquerade, we're putting on a disguise, right? Something that's not the real us. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Now, God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. Satan tries to scheme and deceive us and masquerade that he's a part of the kingdom of light, but we know he's not. It says, it is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. So Satan, he can't just show us his true evil, his true ugliness, because we would run away from it. We would say, I want nothing to do with that. So what does he do? He schemes. He says, I'm going to come up with a scheme to trick people to think I'm doing something good for them, or I'm giving them something good. I'm masquerading as an angel of light, as a part of God's kingdom. And not only just him, it says he uses people. That people will masquerade as if we are righteous, if we have God's righteousness in our lives. So we have to be careful about that too. That's why, as Judy said earlier, it's so important that we know the Bible. Because oftentimes, things can look really good. They can look deceiving to us. it's amazing what can deceive us. I was thinking about, in talking about this, that it's amazing what we'll fall for. Before I was a Christian, and I thought that, I thought I was looking at maybe going to jail, spent a little time in jail. It was like, it's not a big deal because everybody I know spent time in jail. What a deception. Now, that's a deception. That's a scheme. Because you know what the truth of the matter is? It's not most people have spent time in jail, right? I won't ask you to raise your hands. But the scheme was, and my thinking was, the problem was is everybody I hung around had spent time in jail, okay? But that's not the truth. That was a scheme to get me to think that was no big deal. It's okay. Satan is a schemer, and he uses people to do it as well. The only way that you can know what is a scheme of Satan and what is true is to know God's word. So you need to know God's word because he's going to scheme. Stand against the devil's schemes. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is on the prowl. Prowling and scheming go hand in hand. Amen? He's got a scheme, he's working it out, and he's just prowling around looking for who he can get to fall for his scheme. That's what he does. He roams around looking for people that he can deceive. And it actually says it's not just deceiving them. When we are deceived, we end up running the danger of being devoured by him, that he ends up consuming our lives. So the first reason we put on the armor of God is to stand against the schemes of the devil. The next reason tells us that we put on the armor of God is it says because our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against powers of this dark world and spiritual forces of evil. So we often have confrontation, if you will, with the physical world around us and people. You know, we have a conflict with a person. It seems like our conflict is the person or this physical world. But what the Bible tells us is that there's a spiritual force behind that that's the real problem. That person that you have conflict with, that person is not the primary problem. The primary problem is the spiritual forces behind that person motivating them. The way this would work is that Satan is scheming and prowling, right? So he finds somebody that's going to fall for his scheme. And he deceives that person. He's proud. He's found them. He's scheming them. And now they're falling for his scheme. Now that scheme, if it's of the devil, we know it's not good, right? Now that person shows up in your life. And the next thing you know, they're causing trouble for you. And you think that your conflict is with that person, but it's not. It's with the spiritual force behind it that was scheming, that deceived that person and then brought them into your life to cause trouble. I won't ask for any names, but you might have a name or two that comes to mind of somebody in your life that's causing trouble. Our struggle is not against that flesh and blood person, but against these spiritual powers behind it. This is what he does. So we have been given a tool. How do we fight against this? We've been given a spiritual piece of armor to fight against this deception. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11 says, "If you forgive anyone, I also forgive them. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes." So if we stand against his schemes, and it's not against flesh and blood, he's using other people, we have conflict with people, other maybe groups, maybe individuals, maybe situations. What's my best spiritual tool to fight back against that? What did it just tell me? Forgiveness. So I fight a spiritual battle not by trying to overpower them, but in forgiving. Because when we don't forgive, why is it so important to forgive? He tells us we need to forgive. And he's forgiving them. Let me read this again. It says, "For if we forgive anyone, I also forgive them. And what I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake." When we forgive, we are not forgiving that person for their sake. We are forgiving for our sake. Because when anger and bitterness and jealousy and rage and all these things come up into our lives, it affects us. Have you ever been really mad at a person, really upset, unhappy, and that person, you're in your head, in your gut, in your heart, you're like, really upset, and you might be thinking all kinds of thoughts, you're saying things to them in your mind, and you go to bed at night, and you're telling them where to get off and all that kind of stuff, and they're at home just sleeping just fine, right? Who's it affecting? You or them? It's affecting you. So we are given forgiveness as a tool so that we don't let that stuff get inside of us and take root and really cause problems in our life. He says he gives us forgiveness for our sake, not for their sake. Yes, it's good for them, because when we forgive them for our sake, it says also that Jesus also forgives them as well. Forgiveness is a powerful tool to fight, a powerful weapon to fight against this idea that we're not struggling against flesh and blood, because forgiveness is taking place in the spiritual realm, not in the fleshly realm, because that's not what we're battling against. So we're doing this to win the battle in the spiritual realm. I'm going to skip a little bit, like I said, try and keep this shorter. James 4, 7 and 8 on this topic says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you." So we need to actually put up a resistance. There is a spiritual battle. Why are we told to put on the armor of God? Because what is taking place is a battle. There is real resistance. This isn't just figurative language. It's not just words. It's not just ideas. We're told, actively resist the devil's schemes. If we do that, if he learns that he cannot deceive us, he cannot prowl around and use his scheme to devour us, it's not working on us, he will, it says, leave us alone. He'll flee from us. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, back to the idea of if we have anger and malice and bitterness and jealousy and all those things that it gets inside of us, those are things that the Bible calls strongholds. They become a stronghold in our life. They really get a hold of us, and they're hard to get rid of. There are strongholds I've certainly had to overcome in my life. And so what you do, you resist the devil, and eventually he will bail. He'll leave it alone, okay? He will, as it says, he'll flee. But here's the thing. I just want to warn you in advance. You absolutely should do this. But if he comes back around again, don't be surprised. He will flee if you resist him, but over time, he'll come back and see if you still got your defenses up. Do you still have on the armor of God? Because he will come back and try it again. And the way that this is described in the Old Testament as a battle is that cities would have a wall around them, a walled city. And a stronghold would be that the enemy would find a weakness in that wall, a weakness in the defense, and that's where he would attack. So once you, as the people in the city, find that weakness in the wall, you fortify it and close it up so he can't attack, he stops trying to get through the wall in that place. But over time, as he probes other areas in the wall, he goes, you know, I remember that place we always used to have success getting through the wall. Let's go back, and they closed it up, but let's go back and see if they're still paying attention. Maybe we can get in there again. And he comes back and he tries it again. And if you've let your guard down because you think, well, I took care of that, it's no longer a problem, you know what's going to happen? He's going to get through there again. That's what's being described in having a stronghold and not letting Satan, take advantage of that. But it's why we have to put on the armor of God, keep it up, but you resist the devil, he will flee. But just remember, keep your guard up, because he'll come back and he will try it again. Next thing, why we're told we need to put on the armor of God. We put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, we'll be able to stand our ground. We got to stand our ground. We can't collapse. We can't surrender. We can't just let it run over us. We have to be able to stand our ground. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5a says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage the war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world." So even though we're told the armor of God lists these items that we think of as physical items, they're not really physical items, they're spiritual items. It says, "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Remember, I just described strongholds. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." What's being described here is this battlefield up here, the mind. Like I said, the first attacks of Satan are his schemes to deceive us, to trick us, it's thoughts and ideas that go into our mind. We have to have knowledge of God. That knowledge and understanding of God helps us be able to recognize the schemes of Satan, those ideas in our mind. It says that our weapons are not like the of this world. Our weapons have divine power. Now, a sword, as we saw depicted, and poor Keegan got run through with a sword, I noticed, it's a very powerful weapon. It can be very formidable. It can do real damage. But it says that our weapons, these spiritual weapons, the armor of God that we put on, are not just simply spiritual weapons. They have not just earthly physical power, they have divine power. Divine, supernatural power. Power that helps us overcome all of the failings of this world, all of our shortcomings, that we can get out of and defeat the kingdom of darkness and live in the kingdom of light, because our weapons, these armor of God, has divine power. And that starts with our knowledge, because it says there in verse 5, "We demolish arguments and pretensions that set itself up against the knowledge of God." Satan will always try to talk you out of doing something right, doing something good, doing something godly. You hear about Jesus dying for your sins and giving you new life and eternal life, and him loving you and protecting you and providing for you and all these things, and Satan's whispering in the back of your mind, "Oh, that's not real. That's not true. That's just a book written by men. Those are just fairy tales. Those are just things." That's the battlefield that's taking place in the mind. So we have to take those captive, those pretensions, those arguments. Having a knowledge of God says, "No, I know. You might tell me it's not real, but I know it is." Folks, like many of you know, I didn't grow up in church. Here's what I always tell people. I've now, in adult life, having become a Christian, I've studied the Bible. I've studied, the textual criticism, archaeology, history, philosophy, all those things that tell me the Bible is true. But you know how the best way I know it's true? Everything I've ever learned from the Bible, and I've actually put it into practice in my life, 100% it worked. That's the best thing. Archaeology, history, textual criticism, all that, it's all good. Nothing wrong with it. You should know it. You should have that knowledge. But the best knowledge and the divine power comes from knowing everything I've ever learned in Scripture and applied to my life, it always worked. It always produced what it said it would produce. Now, if it's not true, it won't work. It only works because it's true. Truth works. Falsehood, at some point, will fail. It will collapse. Amen? Falsehood, lies, don't work. They won't stand the test of time. Things that are true work. So I have knowledge of God. My knowledge of God's word and knowing and proving time and time and time and time again that it's true and it will work if I will live it in my life gives me access to a divine power that helps me stand my ground no matter what comes against me, no matter what trial, no matter what catastrophe, no matter what hardship. I stand my ground, as I said, the armor of God helps us stand our ground, because I know that this is true. And if I do it, it may take a day, it may take a month, it may take a year, it may take a decade, but this will work. God wins, and if I'm with God, that means I win. So I stand my ground in the knowledge of God. But I got to have that knowledge in my head already, or I won't know to stand on it. So we put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, we can stand our ground. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5 says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Have you ever had a debate with somebody and they're trying to be really wise and persuasive in the way they talk? Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, says, my preaching, my teaching, my faith, all that, it doesn't stand on wise and persuasive words, but on a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Paul says he wants our faith to rest on God's power. Okay? That's divine. Remember, our weapons are not of this world. They have divine power. A demonstration of God's power in our lives is divine. By very definition, God is divine. Amen? And if his power is evident in our lives, that's divine power by very definition. So Paul says, I don't believe this stuff because of somebody, I had a debate with somebody and they convinced me. He said, I believe it because I've seen God's divine power demonstrated in my life. Folks, that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be in your relationship with God. I hope you trust me and believe what I'm saying to you. I'm not trying to deceive you. But ultimately, your faith should not be rest on what I'm standing up here saying to you. I don't know that my words could ever be... Well, if I read from Scripture, I'm speaking wise words. Randy's words probably are never wise words, okay? They might be persuasive, but I don't know how wise they are. I don't want your faith to rest on my wise or persuasive words. Your faith ultimately needs to rest on the fact that you've seen God's power evident in your life. That's the best place you want to be. That's where you want to be. I'm going to skip again a little bit. I'm trying to be merciful to you here. Colossians, we're ultimately told to stand our ground. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. We stand our ground. We use the armor of God. We use the faith, the word of God, our knowledge, the helmet of salvation, all those, the belt of truth. All those, we use all those things as we utilize them in prayer. We wrestle, it says, in prayer. And Epaphras here is wrestling in prayer. We do that so that we can stand our ground because the enemy comes against us. We have to fight back. Again, it's not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. And we put these things into practice in prayer. We pray God's word. We pray and ask God to give us wisdom. We pray and ask God to reveal to us the truth. All these things so that we can stand our ground. Wherever you're standing at right now, if you're moving and you're not locked in solid, then you're more susceptible. You're more open to having, you know, problems or having the enemy be able to get the upper hand on you. We need to be able to stand our ground. So Paul closes all of this with a final instruction when it comes to putting on the armor of God by telling us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Again, we stand our ground here by wrestling in prayer. We use these these pieces of armor of God by putting them to work in prayer. We stand our ground. So Paul says, pray, pray all the time, pray in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit gives us divine power, not natural power, not earthly power, divine power. Ephesians 6:18 said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert, always keep praying for the saints. Because I had just read earlier that let me go back, make sure I just get it right. Our faith isn't to rest on wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. The Spirit, the power of God is in His Spirit, right? Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Spirit comes on you. We have power from the Holy Spirit. So He says, pray in the Spirit. Why do I pray in the Spirit? Why is this going to be divine power? Oftentimes, we think we usually think we know what we need in life, right? I know what I need. If I just had this, then everything would be okay. If this situation over here was fixed or resolved, then that would be great. We think that we know. But the trouble is we don't wrestle against, what do we say? Flesh and blood. Because we're always looking at the people involved or the situation. But it's not the physical situation. It's the spiritual realm behind it. So we need to pray in the Spirit. But here's the thing. We don't know. We see what's going on in the physical realm, but we don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm. We need to be able to operate in the spiritual realm, but we with our physical eyes can't see that. We don't know. So a lot of times when we think that we need, we want to pray, and we pray what we see with our physical eyes. But that's not the real need. We don't really know how we're supposed to pray. We don't really know what needs to be prayed about. Matthew 26:14 says, watch and pray so that you will not be... that's not the one I wanted. In this Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with groans and words cannot express. We don't know what we ought to pray. Who knows? Who knows what's really going on behind the physical world? God, His Spirit... So what do? We pray in the Spirit. We pray as the Holy Spirit leads us. We don't pray with our own motivations and what we see with our own eyes. We pray as the Holy Spirit gives us an impression, an idea, leads us in how we should pray. Because He knows what is supposed to be prayed about. He knows what's really going on. That person that you're having conflict with, that situation you're having difficulty in, you see it in the physical realm. He sees what's going on behind the scenes. He sees that scheme that Satan brought against that person and then deceived that person to come and make trouble for you. You don't know the scheme. God does. The Spirit of God does. So how do I pray? Do I pray against the person or do I pray against the scheme that the enemy brought? How can I do that? I can only do it if I pray in the Spirit because the Spirit knows. And that's divine. That's my divine power. My weapons in this world that God gives me, the armor of God, is not natural. They are divine. We have divine weapons. We should use them. If you had, you know, think of it this way. If you had, if you needed a weapon, I know this is incredibly politically incorrect these days, but let's say you had a weapon. I need a weapon to defend myself and to fight a battle. I've got a gun. Okay? Or you say, you know what? A gun is good, but I also have this super duper, you know, colossal, magical weapon over here that the world doesn't know anything about, and it will just poof, take care of all my problems. Which one would you go for? The gun, one bullet at a time, or you take the super colossal magic, you know, gizmo that no one has any clue of, and it fixes everything? Which weapon would you take? I think I'd take the gizmo, right? That's what God is telling us. It's not, these are not natural weapons. God is really saying, I'm on your side and I'll fight your battle for you. If you know the truth, if you are a partner in the gospel, if you have faith, if you protect yourself with my righteousness, if you do these things, I'm on your side. I fight your battle for you. You can stand your ground no matter what comes against you, and you are going to be successful. So these are all things that we're taught. This is why we taught on the armor of God all week to our kids. This is what makes us and keeps us in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light, as opposed to the kingdom of darkness. Let me just close right where I opened. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This, as I said, what we taught this week. This is the kingdom keepers. This is what we do to keep God's kingdom active in our lives, active in the world that we live in and all around us. And so I pray that what we taught your kids this week, that they've learned, you know, at least some of these lessons, that they take them to heart, and that as they take them home, they'll be a blessing to them, but they'll also be a blessing to you and your family. And that's why we do Vacation Bible School, and that's why we think it's important enough to teach these truths, because we want what's best for everybody. And like I said, I know for me as a Christian now, you know, for the last 40 years, it works. It works. I used to say I live half my life my way and half my way God's way. I've passed the halfway point. I'm not 80, okay? But it works. God's way has worked way better than when I was living my life my way. Amen? If anybody can relate to that. God's way works way better, and that's how I know it works, and that's why we just want to pass it along to your kids, and like I said, hopefully they're a blessing, and it blesses your home and your family as well. So.